This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. I have a practice on the west side of Manhattan. Along with Dr. Hoffman, we see patients. I have my own private practice there. If you'd like to make an appointment, call our office, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. If you have any questions or comments, if you have questions that you'd like me to address on this podcast, email me, radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. A little bit of news here. Well, news studies actually is what I mean to say. Get this. Preconception levels of fatty acids tied to fecundability. To be fecund or to have fecundability is the ability to naturally reproduce, to have babies. This is coming out of the Journal of Clinical Endocrinological Metabolism, the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Okay. So, preconception levels of fatty acids, the amount of fatty acids in your body, in a woman's body, is tied to fecundability, the ability to naturally reproduce. Preconception plasma levels of phospholipid fatty acids can be associated with enhanced or impaired fecundability, researchers report. Now, what's a phospholipid fatty acid? Oh, cholesterol. So, here's a reason to need cholesterol, right? They say, we found it especially interesting that monounsaturated fatty acids, which have been shown to protect against cardiovascular disease, were also associated with improved fecundability. This is from a Dr. Mumford from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development in Bethesda, Maryland. Also, given studies on the benefits for omega-3s, we were surprised that these were not associated with fecundability among women with prior pregnancy loss. Interesting. So the monounsaturated fatty acids such as olive oil, which have also been shown to be protective against cardiovascular disease, are associated with improved fecundability. I almost want to say fertility, but it's not the same thing. Fecundability is the ability to naturally reproduce. So, fatty acids appear to play a key role in reproductive function and fertility, possibly through their role in prostaglandin synthesis, insulin sensitivity, inflammation, and steroidogenesis. Let me explain. Fatty acids appear to play a critical role in reproduction and fertility, and likely through their role in prostaglandin synthesis. Prostaglandin is a type of hormone. It's either pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. Ladies, think menstrual cramps. If you've got the pro-inflammatory prostaglandins, You're having some heavy-duty menstrual cramps. The anti-inflammatory type, which is associated more with the monounsaturated fats and other beneficial omega-6 fats like evening primrose oil, borage oil, these will produce the anti-inflammatory prostaglandins. So there are good prostaglandins and the not-so-good ones. Fatty acids also are associated with insulin sensitivity when we're eating a higher fat diet, which would likely result in a lower carb diet, resulting in insulin sensitivity. Fatty acids also reduce inflammation. And we need fats in steroidogenesis, the production of steroid hormones, the steroid hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Okay. So Dr. Mumford and colleagues used data from the EAGER prospective trial to examine the relationship between preconception plasma phospholipid fatty acid status, meaning the amount of fat in their bloodstream, in their plasma, before conception, and fecundability, as measured by time to pregnancy, meaning the number of menstrual cycles to achieve a pregnancy. How long did it take you to get pregnant? That's how they measured it. They measured the fatty acid levels and how many periods did you have to have before you actually conceived. So after adjustment for confounders, the monounsaturated fatty acids, such as olive oils and other, were associated with increased fecundability, whereas polyunsaturated fatty acids were associated with decreased fecundability. Again, the team reported this in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism on August 14. You could capture that online. So, after adjustment for confounders, monounsaturated fats were associated with the increased ability to naturally reproduce, fecundability, whereas polyunsaturated fatty acids, like vegetable oils, were associated with decreased fecundability. Which vegetable oils? Oh, let's see. Corn oil, soybean oil, cottonseed oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil, peanut oil. Did I mention cottonseed oil? It's probably the worst one. Why, you may ask? Let's see. Those particular vegetable fats, which are associated with decreased fecundability, contain more pro-inflammatory omega-6 fats. Not the beneficial omega-6 fats. The gamma-linoleic acid, as I mentioned earlier, like in evening primrose oil or borage oil, but the pro-inflammatory fats in those vegetable oils, like corn, soybean, cottonseed, safflower, sunflower, canola, all of those. Why? These pro-inflammatory omega-6 oils make the wrong types of prostaglandins. They propagate inflammation. Now, what's interesting is these associations were consistent among women with either normal weight, body mass index, or underweight, but not among women with overweight or obesity. That's interesting. So people with normal weight, even a little underweight, they found that the monounsaturated fats, the better fats, were associated with increased ability to reproduce. And the polyunsaturated vegetable oils, which American Heart Association still is touting as healthy, are associated with decreased fecundability, decreased ability to reproduce. So here is another reason that these polyunsaturated fats are not good for you. These vegetable oils that American Heart is touting as healthy, they are not healthy. And get this, there were no associations between saturated fatty acids or trans fatty acids and fecundability. So, saturated fatty acids, we already know, are not harmful. And it's the man-made trans fatty acids that are harmful. So here's the thing. They likely did not find this association between trans fatty acids. They're not making a distinction whether these are naturally occurring trans fats, like in ruminant fats, which are perfectly fine in meat, in cheese. They're not distinguishing between the man-made trans fatty acids, the hydrogenated vegetable oils, the Crisco, the partially hydrogenated fats that we see on a lot of processed food. Pardon me. Because when you're eating a diet high in beneficial fats, like the monounsaturated fats, any trans fatty acids, the bad ones in particular, are being displaced and being replaced with the beneficial fats. This is what's helpful. So the scientists say, though, we have found that fatty acid composition as measured in plasma was associated with fecundability, additional research and supplement trials are needed to determine the best diet to improve fertility to inform recommendations. And of course, any scientist doing scientific research says this because A, yes, this does merit further further investigation, and B, they want to continue getting their grant funding so they can have a job and continue the research. So more power to them. Quote, women should continue to take a supplement containing 400 micrograms of folic acid each day and strive for a healthy diet. Okay, you're going to find that in any prenatal formula. In a better prenatal formula, you will now find methylfolate, which is more bioavailable. And again, this is in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, August 14. Access. Okay. So very, very interesting. You want the beneficial fats. If there is any, I say to you ladies who want to get pregnant, have children, check your diet. Check in with a qualified nutritionist on how to eat. Get rid of these vegetable oils in your diet. They're telling you in this prospective study that the consumption of these pro-inflammatory vegetable oils, corn, soybean, cottonseed, safflower, sunflower, canola, that they're associated with a decreased ability to naturally reproduce. Let me move on. Could too much HDL cholesterol, the so-called good cholesterol, be bad for your heart? This is in Health Day. When it comes to protecting one's heart, high-density lipoprotein cholesterol, or HDL, has long had a reputation of being the good cholesterol compared to the bad cholesterol, low-density lipoprotein, which is LDL cholesterol, right? But new research suggests that there could be too much of a good thing. Very high blood levels of HDL cholesterol may actually be bad for you. The research linked it to a higher risk for heart attack and even death among patients who already had heart problems or who faced a higher risk of developing heart disease. These findings are based on a roughly 4-year tracking of cholesterol levels and heart disease among nearly 6,000 men and women. So, historically, we know that HDL cholesterol, the supposed good cholesterol, is thought to be protective at high levels for cardiovascular disease. So, however, this study demonstrates that this may not be the case, and in fact, that higher levels may be harmful. This study was done as part of the Emory University Cardiovascular Biobank. On average, the participants were 63 years old, and about one-third were women. Their HDL levels ranged from a low of less than 30, which is quite low HDL, to a high of greater than 60 in blood, in serum. So, let's see here. Over the course of the study, 13% of the patients had a heart attack or died from a cardiovascular cause. At the study's end, the researchers concluded that patients with HDL levels in the middle range of the spectrum, meaning between 41 to 60 milligrams per deciliter of blood, they fared the best, having the lowest risk for heart attack or death from heart disease. In contrast, those with HDL readings below 41 or above 60 faced a markedly increased risk for both health outcomes, demonstrating what the researchers called a U-shaped risk pattern. So at the beginning of the U, right, and the end of the U, but right there in the middle there is Goldilocks, the readings between 41 and 60. Specifically, patients with HDL levels exceeding 60 were found to have a 50% greater risk of heart disease, death, or heart attack compared with those in the middle range. The findings held up even after accounting for a patient's history of diabetes, smoking, drinking, and LDL levels. Race and gender also didn't appear to affect the findings. Dr. Greg Fonero is director of the Amanson UCLA Cardiomyopathy Center in Los Angeles. He said that research from UCLA established more than two decades ago that HDL cholesterol could, in certain individuals, including those with high levels of HDL and in certain circumstances, be dysfunctional and pro-inflammatory and contribute to narrowing of the arteries. In other words, he says, the so-called good cholesterol in terms of cardiovascular risk could go bad and be associated with excess risk. So, the scientists acknowledge that other studies have revealed a similar HDL problem among people who do not otherwise face a high risk for heart disease, but said that the new study is the first to uncover the same concern among people who are already at high risk for cardiovascular complications, even if the mechanism behind this finding remains unclear. And they said one surprising aspect of the study was that this association between high levels of HDL and increased risk of death or cardiovascular disease was seen more commonly in women compared to men. As to what might constitute a dangerous HDL threshold, they said it likely occurs at HDL levels exceeding 80 milligrams per DL and perhaps even higher in women. Scientists said a number of prior studies have found that when compared to those with more moderately high levels of HDL, people with very high HDL levels, meaning a threshold of 90 or more, appear to face a greater risk for heart disease. Now, in my practice, what I've seen is those with very, very high HDL levels It's either associated with hypothyroidism, which we see more commonly in women, and a phenomenon of hypothyroidism is to askew, really skew these cholesterol numbers, a very high HDL, an LDL that's hard to get under control. We see this phenomenon associated with hypothyroidism. I wish that they had talked about this particular phenomenon with hypothyroidism, because they're seeing that this high HDL is more dangerous among women than men. I wonder how much hypothyroidism plays a role here. It would be very interesting to find that out. Another thing we see with very high HDL, a very high HDL, over 80, over 90, over 100, may be associated with toxic exposures. This might be the body churning out more HDL in order to deal with toxins in the body. This is generally very new information, and I know it's under more investigation, and the more I find out about it, I will bring it to you here on Intelligent Medicine. So, what should concerned patients do as far as this study? They say that as the cause of this finding remains unclear, and I wish they would investigate how much this has to do with toxic exposure and or hypothyroidism, the scientists say the appropriate management is not known at this time. Patients with very high HDL should continue to address other modifiable risk factors such as high blood pressure, smoking, obesity, to reduce cardiovascular disease. Well, that makes sense. These findings were presented at the European Society of Cardiology meeting in Munich, Germany. And this was this past summer in August. So, the research presented at meetings should be considered preliminary until it's been published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. So, very interesting stuff. The sources, Mark Allard Ratnick, MD, Department of Internal Medicine, Division of Cardiology, Emory University School of Medicine, Atlanta. Greg Fonero, MD, Director, Amanson, UCLA Cardiomyopathy Center, and Co-Director, UCLA Preventive Cardiology Program, Los Angeles, and the European Society of Cardiology meeting in Munich, Germany, August 25th of this year. Interesting stuff, right? I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Intelligent Medicine. That is Layla Weighs In, that's me. Thank you for joining me. Should you have any questions, topics of interest, email me to radioprogram@aol.com. This is Layla Mutin on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.